it's totally opaque. We don't know how the process really is being determined and who gets sort of marked for death.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Eli Lake, who's the senior national security correspondent for The Daily Beast and Newsweek. Eli, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
One of the big stories coming out is President Obama's ability, or the list that he's generated of likely terrorist suspects that he says he has the right to kill. This is something that you talked about years ago. And you talked about more broadly about how Obama seemed to be continuing or even expanding some of the most controversial aspects of the Bush security state. Where are we? Are you surprised by the Obama list and the way that it's being discussed?
To a degree, we could have presumed something like this was happening. It's totally opaque. We don't know how the process really is being determined and who gets sort of marked for death. We also don't know how many jurists are involved in this process, if any.
And by that, if there's any kind of judicial oversight or,
sure.
or check. Well, I mean, we don't even know if other
if the government yeah. wants to suspects an American of being a foreign intelligence agent, it needs to go to a court, a secret court, to get a warrant to tap their phones and read their email and do other things like that. It was a FISA court. If someone is suspected of being a member of Al-Qaeda, there's no court that we know of where the president can go to sort of do it. Now, there's an expansive definition of wartime authorities for the executive that I guess John Yoo and Dick Cheney and Dave Addington would say are would include this power to go after even American citizens.
Have they stepped up? I mean, have people like John Yoo and Dick Cheney and the architects of the Bush security response, have they said, yeah, what Obama's doing
well,
is totally
in the,
good?
In 2009, Dick Cheney did criticize Obama for sort of considering the prosecution or reopening certain kinds of cases against CIA officers.
Does there need to be an explicit understanding or a new protocol set up that is transparent and if not transparent, at least able to be checked so that we're not in a position where we're just trusting our government to do the right thing?
I mean, it's interesting that you put that way. I think that there should be some process like a FISA court
right.
that works at least for U.S. citizens who are going to be killed in these drone programs and drone strikes. I think overall the development of drones or UAVs or I guess unmanned aerial vehicles or whatever it represents an advance in that these tend to be more precise, even though sometimes they get the wrong targets, than certainly air power used in the Vietnam War and certainly air power used in World War II. So overall, you could point to a kind of a more humane trend line.
Are we at a moment in time where defense spending and military spending is going to come down?
It's less, I think, the overall number, but what kind of military do we want the military to be? And I would just say that the cheaper counterterrorism military of having the ability to conduct drone strikes all over the world, you know, and sort of a strategy which is sometimes crudely called mowing the grass is, is that something that we want forever? Is that, and then it leads you to, because certainly what we're not gonna see is General David Petraeus and he's not going to have his coin, his counterinsurgency army, where the military were these like kind of, it was not just a military that fought wars, they were building nations as well. And but the advantage of a coin military is that at some point, at some end date, the host country is competent enough and professional enough that you don't need to have a drone base there mm-hmm. in order to get the bad guy, that they can handle it, they can handle it digitally. That's at least the end goal. And so I think that you're going to be caught between those two things. And obviously, the coin military is more expensive than the sort of counterterrorism military with drones and then a cyber element and things like that.
What needs to happen to have a kind of moment where there is a broad-based consensus?
Well, I think there is a bit of beginning of a policy consensus emerging. It's okay to send UAVs and special forces into weak states for targeted pinpoint missions meant to kill or capture terrorist leaders or something like that. things. The question is, who's going to pick up the slack and do the harder job of training up, you know, the Yemeni counterterrorism Coast Guard unit? Because that's a hard job. It's thankless. It's expensive. It's dangerous. Who's responsible for that? It used to be America.
And do you think that there will be a consensus about what are the limits on the stealth of military intervention or of security aspects? You know, things like enemies lists or who's generating the list of.
Well, I think that there's a much better chance, if libertarians are worried about it, of introducing some sort of oversight and what's the word I'm looking for? Like, if you have oversight and also a process that's sort of as transparent as it can be, oversight and some degree of transparency in that process, than it is to sort of say we can't do it, or take the argument that you may have heard before 9/11, which is that we have no right to send a drone into Yemen or something like that. And then I think the other thing I would just say is that the consensus that sort of emerged will shatter or will be reformed or will change if there is a horrific terrorist attack in the United States.
Well, we're going to leave it there. Thank you, Eli Lake of Newsweek and The Daily Beast. For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.